know some of us say, I've been working hard and look like I ain't getting no progress. But a husbandman, a farmer, understands that when you put the seed in the ground, you can't worry about it. And you can't see it growing because it grows down first. Y'all not with me here. So you've been worried about when is this thing going to come to fruition. And what it's been doing, it's been growing down first. Oh, my God. Then it's going to come up. But he tells us the husbandman that he engages himself in this labor so much that he gets up before sunrise and he doesn't stop till sunset. You got to put some time in. Oh, come on, put in some work and do. And he says that the husbandman, that means the farmer, or the one who is engaged to take care of whatever he puts out there. See, you ought to be engaged to make sure that whatever you put out there, you're going to oversee to make sure it happens. If you put your word out there, make sure you be there when you say you're going to be there. Come on and say amen. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Amen. He said that labor must be the first partaker of the fruit. He said, if you work, you're going to be the first one to get, you're going to be the first one to reap the benefits of it. I don't know about you, but I put in some work. Amen. And I'm not bragging on what I've done, but what I'm saying is that I know that this works, and you become the first partaker of the fruit because you're the first one to see it come up. When nobody else is paying attention, you out there looking, you say, oh, I got a harvest coming. When nobody else sees it, you say, oh, my God, I'm so thankful. And I'm already thinking about who I'm going to bless with this harvest. Oh, come on and say amen in this house. And so you got to start seeing for yourself. See, the farmer goes out there and he puts it in the ground and he has faith that God's going to give some rain and he's going to give some sunshine and he's going to receive a harvest. But when we put something in the ground, we keep digging it up to see what it's doing. You got to stop. Come on, tell somebody, quit digging it up. Quit digging it up. We keep digging it up to see if it's doing anything. But let me tell you something about a seed. If you put a seed in the ground, you know, a seed, you can put it on a shelf and it won't do nothing. It'll just sit there on the shelf. But then as soon as you put it in the ground, it begins to germinate. It begins to break up. And it begins to grow out. It's something about being put in the ground. But the other thing is that when you fertilize it with manure and things like that, it begins to grow. And in order for a farmer, look at this, the husbandman labor. What is he laboring in? He's laboring in mess. Y'all don't hear me. Sometimes I got to labor through mess. I got to put this dung on there. I got to put some manure. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I got some mess that I got to go through. I got some mess sometimes get on me. I got some mess just so that I can watch this harvest come, just so I can watch this seed grow. I got to get in this mess. Oh, come on and say amen here. Come on, put your mess shoes on and walk through this mess with me. Put your mess clothes on and walk through this mess so that when we come out of this mess, when I go to town to show them what I got, I ain't got to wear my mess clothes no more. Yeah, come on and say amen. When I put my mess clothes on, don't nobody know but the folks that's right there with me in the mess, because they messed up too, preaching this house. And since they messed up, they ain't got no room to talk about my mess, because they got mess on them too. But when we get a harvest, we can put our clean clothes on and we can walk up and say, see what the Lord has done. And see, people see the glory, but they don't know the story of the mess that you had to dump. The mess that you had. I'm going to quit preaching. I'm just, my God. But I got to be engaged. I got to be willing to endure the mess. Y'all with me? Are you willing to endure the mess? Mess don't smell good.
We know your hearts are burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Martin Jr. Our church is located 1401 Elm Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing Post Office Box 968 in Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968 Hampton, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoya Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greater King David Presents is Christmas production, Jesus. The gift, the giver, the biggest part of Christmas. There may be moments in your life when you feel that you don't deserve love, didn't know you were in need of kindness, or that you even wanted Christ to send someone to intercede. But when it or they came, it was right on time. During this season of joy, when joy is not always felt, we recognize Jesus. And our production message is that Jesus is always walking with us and shows up all the time, right on time. Come out and be blessed. Wednesday, December 18th at 6:30 p.m. at the John E. Montgomery Multicultural Center, located at Greater King David Baptist Church North Location, 222 Blunt Road. We will meet you there.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Chapter 4, verse 13, very familiar verse of scripture. Won't be here very long, but we certainly pray that the Lord will impart new revelation, deeper understanding in His Word. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It's a 10-word text, and it simply says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. And for a thought, I just want to speak from this topic. With Christ, I can. With Christ, I can. This is a wonderful word that Paul is sharing with the church of Philippi. And it's interesting because he's sharing with them some of the wonderful adventures that he himself has learned and experienced in Christ. He's sharing with them how as believers who grow in the Lord and are maturing in the Lord, how he has learned in whatsoever state he's in, therewith to be content. That there is a difference between complacency and contentment. Complacency is when you get to the point where you just become lackadaisical, you just become so comfortable that you really don't apply yourself, you really don't do anything to better or to further yourself. You kind of just say, any way the wind blows is cool with me. But contentment is knowing that God is in control. And that as you honor and obey him, there are places and steps and periods in your life where you will be that are uncomfortable and are certainly not where you desire to be, but because you know God is in control, that he's working on something better. And while he's working on something better, he's at the same time working on you. And the contentment is in knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Because I know it's not over, I know it's not finished, and I've discovered that whatever is not fatal or final can still be fruitful. And so when I know this, I discover that there are things that God is doing in the process. See, somebody need to know right now where you are is not where you desire to be, nor is it where God desires you to be, but God has allowed you to be there, and you're scratching your head wondering why you didn't deserve to be here, you didn't do anything to be here, why has things happened in such a way, why have they come apart, fallen loose, and become unfixed, where you're finding your place in a life in a situation and a place that is far beyond what you desire, not understanding that God is doing some things in your life that also requires that he does some other things around your life. And so here Paul talks about some things he's learned. He's learned to be abased. He's learned to abound. He's learned to be hungry. He's learned to be full. He's learned how to speak, and he's learned when to be quiet. He's just learned some lessons in life because he's learned that God has got this thing fixed. Every now and then when you enter a situation or you come across a situation where it makes no sense to you, what you've got to realize always is, number one, God is in control. And he's not only in control of it, but he's in control of me. And if he's in control of it and me, then that means that we move at God's command. One of the things that I want you to know again that's important, because when Paul deals with this 13th verse and he gets here and he thanks them for all of that generosity of support for doing the work and helping him do the work of the Lord, etc. He's excited about those things. And he later goes on in the 19th verse, which we all love to quote, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But you got to recognize that he says that because they helped him when he needed it. He didn't just go around making that promise to everybody. That promise was to those who supported him in the work of God, who blessed him and his ministry when he was doing the will of God. And because of that, he wanted them to know that God was going to do the same thing for them and their ministries. But notice here again, this 10-word text is where I'm trying to get to, because so many of us use this out of context. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And just at listening at this, it almost sounds like you can do anything in the world you want to do. Doesn't it? I can do all things. Where is the limit if you say all? All means what? all means all. So I want to look at this a little closer, because some of us have failed miserably because they have not understood what he was saying. I, it's a pronoun, personal pronoun, I. I love this because Paul is using himself. And my brothers and sisters, there's got to come to a point in time in your life where you're willing to take responsibility for your own walk, for your own talk, for your own lifestyle, for your own decisions, for what it is that you are doing. He says, I, personal. It's important to recognize that too many of us miss God hiding behind we or us. And very few of us can say I when it comes to ministry. We must be sure about what it is God's calling us individually to do, as well as collectively. Because here's what you're going to discover. He puts a whole lot of eyes that look the same together to do stuff better. Let me help you understand that. He puts folk who don't mind working to work together. And yet there are a lot of people who don't like to work, who want to be in groups where people are working, and they like to be a part of it, but they don't like to do their part. Our churches are filled with people who come in our churches and they don't do their parts. They don't pay their tithes. They don't give offerings. They don't serve in ministries. They don't witness about Jesus. They don't serve in any capacity. They don't do anything that relates to kingdom building, but they say, us church. And they show up when they get a chance. The church doesn't roll on because they're helping it to roll on. They see it roll on and they catch it every now and then. So many of our members in our churches do not take responsibility for the I in ministry. And my brothers and sisters, God's going to hold you for your part. Let me be clear. Let me be honest. Let me be straightforward with you. You're going to have to give account of your stewardship. You can hide in the crowds. You can hide where you want to hide. But one day you're going to have to give an account for what you are doing and for what you aren't doing. And here's the news. You can't blame anybody but yourself. Notice here the next part says, can do. Can do. This is positive projection. Now, one of the things that I love about this is the positive projection that Paul speaks of is wrapped in all of the difficult situations and circumstances he has found himself in and by the grace of God been brought out of. Can do. Positive projection. You see, one of the things that you've got to know is Proverbs 18 and 21 says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See, when you learn how to talk positive, you begin to speak positive things in the atmosphere. You begin to release positive words that shape your world. No matter how you're feeling now, how you're looking now, how you're doing now, when you begin to speak differently from what you see, differently from what you hear, differently from what you feel, differently from what you know, the reality is your future begins to look like what you say. rather than right now what you see. See, what you've got to realize is that most of what we have now is because of what we've already said. And one of the reasons why we can't get out of what we're still in is because we're still saying what we've always said. And so if we want things to change, we're going to have to speak positively. We're going to have to project positively. We're going to have a positive image in spite of a negative view. See, one of the good things about faith isn't limited to what we see. My faith is not limited to what I can see. We walk by faith, not by eyesight, not by the circumstances that are in our lives, not by the experiences we have, but what we speak. And so a positive projection begins to change. Here's the most important part that you need to realize. That positive projection begins to change you first. From the inside, you start feeling better, different. You start feeling like a conqueror even when you're down on the ground because you're speaking the right thing. You're reinforcing the right thing. And all of that is lining up in your favor when you release it. So Paul talks about a positive projection. Tell somebody you got to have positive projection. Listen, you are not limited to what folks say you are. You're limited to what you say you are. You're not limited to what other folks say you can do. You're limited to what you say you can do. And so you've got to learn to be positive. And my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, if you're not positive with you, well, how do you expect others to be that way? I've seen some of these people in this ministry. I could name them like on my hand, who have walked through some of the most horrific events in life that many of you would have fallen apart through. And you wonder how they kept going. Well, if you're going to encourage yourself in the Lord, you got to say positive things. You got to say what the Lord say. You've got to be able to understand when it looks like you're being defeated, you got to remind yourself when you're outnumbered, this is not my battle. This is the Lord's battle. I'm not fighting the Lord's battle. Come on, Lord, fight your battle. When sickness overtakes your body and you recognize that you have been promised healing as a part of your salvation, when are you going to start saying, wait a minute? Listen. Sickness will come because I'm in the world where the enemy has the right to put on me some stuff. But if it doesn't belong to me, I have the right to send it back. If somebody sends a wrong package addressed to my house with my address on it with the wrong name, I have the right to write on that return to sender. Or if it's something I don't want and don't want to open, I can say return to sender. I don't have to accept everything they send me. And so I've got to learn to project positive. What he said is what I want. Not what I feel, not what I see, not what I think, but what he said. Positive projection. Listen, then he says, here it is, all things, present and potential. Now here is where the all things get most of us in a tizzy. And we go try some of these things, man, that, and with all of our heart, we say it and we claim it and we believe it and we do it and we fail. And you say, well, Lord, you said in your word that I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Now listen, yes, he did say that in his word. But that's where 2 Timothy 2:15 comes in. Study to show thyself. Study to show thyself. You see, you've got to learn to dig into the scripture and find out the meaning of the scripture for yourself. That was a group of people called the Bereans. And the Bereans, who in that day and time of enlightenment, and they were hearing about Jesus and the word of God. Listen, they were so fascinated by the preaching of the gospel. When the preacher got through preaching, guess what they did? They started having Bible study. And here was the purpose, to see whether those things were so. Some of you take some stuff that sound good and you run off to the high mountains quoting it and saying it and all the rest of that, and that ain't a bit of what God means in his word. And when they don't work, you wonder why they don't work. They don't work because they're not the principle or the precept of God. They sound good, but God didn't mean that. And when we take his meaning out of context, he's not under warrant to make it so. Now, what does Paul mean when he says all things? Let me give it to you in a nutshell here, and hopefully, again, it'll answer some issues for why you've tried some things and they didn't work. Maybe it'll help you in understanding when you've given your best and you failed, why they failed. And here is the answer right here. All things are limited to your calling, your commission, and your connection. See, Paul was talking about all things relative to his calling, all things relative to his commission, and all things relative to the connection of power he had in Christ Jesus. Paul prayed 3 times that his body would be healed. Here is the question. Did he get healed? No. Some of y'all are scared to answer because you don't know. No, he did not get healed. He did not. But rather, what he was told was God's grace was sufficient. What was it sufficient for Paul? To do everything that he had been called and commissioned and connected to Christ to do. Here it is. His sickness didn't stop nothing. Are y'all hearing me here today? The things he was called to do and commissioned to do and connected to Christ to do had nothing to do with his sickness. With his sickness, he wrote more of the New Testament than any single writer. He traveled more than any single writer had gone and experienced. He did more in ministry work. Listen, with his sickness. So what I'm trying to tell you is the excuses that we make for having this problem and that problem, what you've got to understand is you can still do all the things he's called you to do because he made sure that sickness wouldn't stop you as long as you're connected to Christ. I hope I'm encouraging somebody that's got the devil's got them thinking, oh, since this didn't happen to me, I won't be able to do this, or this didn't happen, I've gotten this to happen. And now, no, that ain't got nothing to do with you. God saw all that was going to happen before he called you, before he commissioned you, before he connected you to Christ. And here is the thing, as long as you understand that you are called according to his purpose, you will be able